I'm Suzanne Fuqua, and I am reading two poems that were given to me by Marion Paddock Sarf. These are poems that were written by her sister-in-law, Delia Sarf, Ed Sarf's sister. The first poem I'm going to read of hers, there are two. The first one was written in 1973, and it's called Sudden Signs of Spring. Last night I was awakened by the rainfall overhead, although it had been snowing when I had gone to bed. I listened with much pleasure, for it meant the roof was bare and winter's hold was broken by the south wind's warmer air. Then, as the rainstorm slackened, I could hear the call and cry of geese and cranes that all night long were streaming through the sky. Those sounds brought deep contentment, so I settled down to sleep and dreamed of counting cranes and geese instead of lambs and sheep. A sunbeam came to wake me with a sundance on my face, and then it gave the bedroom shadows a gay and sprightly chase, while through the open windows a honey-scented breeze told me the buds were swelling on the balm of Gilead trees. Now, sipping morning coffee, I watched the children play, for all are out to know the joys of such a glorious day. And soon, I'm sure a robin will visit us and sing, to make this rare day perfect, and prove it's really spring. This second poem, by Delia Sarf, does not have a title. The summer rain came yesterday, and though I whiled those hours away, I'm in no mood to work today. For though the storm had cleared at dawn, it's still too wet to mow the lawn. Although last night I know it grew at least another inch or two, and cowslips flowered in the grass, which some folks think are weeds, alas. I watch them work from early morn to keep their lawns all clipped and shorn, then fertilize and rake and spray to make it grow more lush, they say, but then they rush again to mow before it has a chance to grow. Why do these people work so hard to keep a prim and clipped-edged yard and get down on their aching knees to grub out lovely flowers like these? Then break their backs to transplant more they bought at some greenhouse or store. If they would pause and look before they cut down wild flowers at their door, they'd see the beauty that we know and let the gorgeous wild things grow. Alaska's wild forget-me-nots would soon fringe all their garden plots with their dainty, lacy blue, sometimes jeweled with rain or dew, and flames of bright fireweed would burn above green banks of forest fern, while on the mossy slopes below, they'd see the gay dwarf dogwoods grow. They'd learn that salmon berries are sweet, and find wild strawberries are at their feet, while the elderberry vine, inviting birds to stop and dine, bears people, flowers, and fruit for wine. With all these pleasant things to do, why don't they loaf a little too, just letting lawn and weeding go, while grass and wild flowers thrive and grow? Then I too could loaf in peace, and secret pangs of guilt would cease. If lilies neither toil nor spin, why is resting such a sin?